Welcome to
Got Your Milk,
a podcast about the vampire apocalypse show, The Strain. Whatever. My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. And with me, as always, the
pretty much
Palmer to my Cetrachian.
Hey.
It's Mork. Hey, Mork, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
You didn't want to be called Palmer? Palmer did a lot in tonight's episode.
He sort of did kind of something, except he didn't kill his father, he didn't kill Desai, and no. He probably didn't kill poor man's Christoph Waltz.
No, probably not. That's true.
But other than that, he did a lot. Sure.
Mork, how can people find you on Twitter?
Oh, very easily.
And with us as a special guest this week is Catfish. Catfish, how you doing?
Yeah. I'd like to be considered the poor man's Christoph Waltz to you.
Okay.
Because after watching this episode, I feel like I've been shot about 14 times and fallen down about 40 stories down an elevator shaft.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That is Catfish. Mm-hmm. Catfish, how can people find you on Twitter?
They can reach me at Extraordinary.
Yes.
That's a W before the final R. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. That is Morks. You can hit me up at CJGman67.
Heck yeah. And I keep mentioning how you can reach us on Twitter because a member of Strigoi Team 7 tweeted me after last week's episode, and it was the most brilliant, intelligent reading of the episode entirely. So if you remember
that. Oh, wow. Can we get them to do the podcast instead of us?
They might need to because they see things that we don't. So you might remember last week, F and Dutch, before they got busy and became Team Futch,
yeah.
They were testing the brain signal machine, and Dutch got really sick and even threw up. And so Joseph on Twitter, who's at Kratos Joe, I'm going to spell this out. He's at Kratos Joe. Kratos Joe. He sent me a tweet. He said, Dutch is pregnant. She didn't drink the drink which Efren gave her. She might get turned and create Quinlan 2.0. Wow. Is that a nice
Wait,
read?
Who did she strabone?
She has been. She's had bread truck lovin', as we know, with Fett.
Yeah.
And last week
but
she...
But wasn't that just mouth on special part?
It's in...
You know...
You've seen what the worms can do when they get inside you? So humanity is going to have to do its part if
and,
we want to
and
keep
so,
up.
What do you think? Do you think this is something they could do, Mork? Do you think they could have... They already have a love triangle between sexual aggressive, sexy Fett, and, of course, Dutch. Do you want Dutch to be pregnant, to have that melodrama come in?
For the entire next season?
No, I want episode one of next season to be a bottle episode entirely on the set of a Jerry Springer show. And they bring out Dutch, F, and Fett. And then it turns out it's actually Cetrachians.
That would not surprise me at all. That would not surprise me at all. Maybe it's possible that Dutch did not imbibe, not because she's pregnant, even though I think she could be pregnant, but rather because she was afraid that sexually aggressive was trying to roofie her and pull a Bill Cosby.
Perfect.
Now, poor F. He had a rough episode tonight. We're going to get to it in a bit about how...
All of a sudden, F can fight.
Yeah, Fett was going very low.
He can duck people.
He can move quickly.
I honestly thought
he's
the capture to that scene should have been that he's taken the white because he's an alcoholic science nerd who all of a sudden has got some ninja skills.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, we'll know shortly, but I'm pretty sure they actually sweetened him, you know, when he moved out of the way with like a little whoosh. Did you guys notice that? The whooshing?
I heard it in my own head.
There's a little bit of whooshing.
But I hear a lot of whooshes in my head.
You do.
Especially during this show. So tonight's episode 9 of season 3, entitled Do or Die.
Was anything done or dead?
A lot of things were done, and several characters were dead, did die, or are close to death. So let's get into it. I was very, when I saw another flashback, and this one didn't feature, hey, brah, it's me, baby Gus.
It's little Gus.
So when I saw another flashback, I thought, oh, my God, and my ranking was incredibly low. But the kind of heroic death they gave to Silver Angel and his flash to his costume I really appreciated. And then I really did like Palmer just saying, screw this, I'm taking control. And I did like that moment at the end. So I'm going to give this episode probably, I was really down on the beginning, but I like the end so much. I'm going to go 8 out of 10. 8 wow. out of 10.
Wow.
For Do or Die.
That's pretty high for you, Bubba.
Very high.
You are nowhere near the ledge.
I'm always the toughest critic.
Nowhere near the ledge.
I'm always on the ledge, but not tonight. Let's go to our special guest, Catfish. Catfish, we need your ranking out of 10 for this very special episode, Do or Die.
Well, as you know, sometimes when I'm not here, I like to make up for past episodes.
Right.
So I'm going to give
Much like the writers and producers.
Right.
Straight in it.
I'm going to give this 12.5, what I like to call quadruple Fs.
Quadruple Fs?
Yes. I'll explain it to you, even though most people know what it means.
And most do.
Quadruple Fs are Frank / Feraldo / Fight Mexican Fireballs.
Oh, man. So, heck yeah, I'm so mesmerized by the quadruple Fs, I don't even know if I remember what you gave it out of 10. That's so good. So
12.5.
Oh, okay, dang.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful rating.
That was a beautiful rating. I'm down with that. All right, so now it's time to turn to Mork. Mork.
Yeah, I'm ready.
You have been very high, almost always going 10 out of 10. So I need your ranking for Do or Die, episode 9 of season 3.
Well, a lot to think about in this episode. I'm going to say 10 cc's.
Double c's out of 10?
That's right. As in, no, Catfish, not those 10 cc's. What we're talking about are caramelized crucifixes.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh,
very good. Another shout out to my boy Silver Angel.
Silver Angel.
He did so much on the show that really this will be all we remember him for.
He really did, and he will live on for basically just the only thing that he accomplished was forcing Gus onto a chain gang. Because last year,
right,
they were going to leave with the Tandoori Palace truck.
But they wanted to stay and fight.
And they stayed and fought.
But did they stay and did they fight? They did stay, but they definitely didn't really fight.
They made zero impact at all other than having to, you know, kill Gus's mom together.
I'm like family. Remember him.
And then Gus leaves town again. So I'm not exactly sure what was accomplished there.
How are you going to remember him, Catfish?
I'm going to remember him for the one scene that made it seem like they might do some fun stuff on this show, but it was just a tease when we were introduced to the Silver Angel, and we got to see him in his wrestling horror movie.
Yeah, if we're flashing back to Palmer getting a check from his dad, and pardon me, friends. During season 1.2 of Mad Men, or seeing, you know, Palmer meeting Ike Horst for the, you know, umpteenth time, or seeing all these other flashbacks, why could we not? All of those flashbacks would have been far more effective if they were done with Silver Angel starring whoever was the character that was supposed to be flashing back during a Mexican wrestling horror movie.
Love it.
That's true. Now, our good friends at Barbasu, another member of Strigoi Team 7.
Oh,
now, Strigoi Team 6, listeners, remember, they got taken out like chumps multiple times.
Chumps and chumps.
Including. I laugh every time I think about his funny quips. Lar last week in the tactical nuke explosion. But because Strigoi Team 6 was such a failure, we made our listeners, our true double L's, our loyal listeners, Strigoi Team 7.
Listening.
And at Barbasu on Twitter, she tweeted out after tonight's episode, she said, damn, losing too many beloved characters tonight.
Wow.
And what's interesting is she put it plural, right, beloved.
Well, Frank, Feraldo, Cop 1, Cop 2, Cop 3.
Gus?
Gus is, he's still alive.
He left.
Now he's really going to stay. Now he's really going to stay behind. And
right. Do you think Gus would honor...
He'll deputize himself.
No, here's what I think.
He's going to deputize himself.
Gus will honor himself. Here, hold on. I'm going to spoil it. Here is a scene. I'm going to take you to a scene from next week's episode. Yeah, bruh. Hey, oh, I made it across the river. I've got to honor the Silver Angel's sacrifice.
How are you going to do that?
By going back into the city.
Where are your papers? I need to see your papers. Are you Muslim? We are not letting these people in.
Listen, you're a cop, so I'm not going to help save you. Blue lives? Oh, wait a minute. Silver Angel did it. So I will save your life. You know what? He risked his life to get me out of the city. So I'll honor his memory by going back into the city.
Well, yeah, otherwise he died for nothing.
Hey, bruh, don't tell me what he died for.
No, that makes perfect sense.
Man, I'm going to hell. I didn't help my mama at all.
You didn't help her, you sort of killed her.
Stogoy, they can't attack over running water. So that's why I left the sink running in my apartment. I love you, Ma. Hey, Ma, it's me, Gus. That reminds me of when I was a little kid.
Oh, God.
Hey, Ma, it's me, baby Gus. Okay, and so that spoiled next week's episode. So, sure enough, Gus escaped. So let's just get to it. The episode starts on a real downer. I know a lot of people were depressed about tonight's Walking Dead because a couple characters on that show, died. But they were more depressed on this show by Frank's death.
This was my favorite.
I think cumulatively, absolutely.
This is my favorite scene of the episode because I really felt like they said some things that really resonated with me.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the first thing is Justine Feraldo says, "It isn't pretty, people." And that just made me think about whenever I watch this show, I think it's not pretty.
Oh, that's not true.
It's not pretty. I do have one question.
Just one. That's good. Okay, so ask this question, then you won't have any more. Okay, good.
When the three of us...
Right.
That is Mork, Bubba, and Catfish...
Yeah.
...outnumber the number of policemen in New York City. Can we stop doing the podcast? There's four left.
Right.
We just needed to get rid of two of them. Seems like we got rid of them.
You're not here every week. So if you were here every week...
Okay,
you've got some catching up
to do. If I say I'm
going to
be here every week and there's only two cops left, can we stop?
Yes, if you have to do one full season with us...
All right, hold on.
The big question is, now Justine says she cares.
She does
cares
care.
About the city.
Yeah.
If she cares so much about the city, why did she lose her accent?
The city lost a lot of things, a lot of people, a lot of historic buildings, a lot of important accents from Staten Island. This was a thing, and I want to ask you guys, this cop at the beginning, who's like,
poor man's Kurt Russell?
No, he's...
This tall, skinny cop.
That's poor man's Matthew Modine.
Oh, I think Mork is more likely... on the poor man scale. So
I know my poor man.
This guy says, hey, let's go to Saratoga Springs. There's supplies there. He's bringing up points which I'm going to have to believe are true. They're running out of ammo. They're running out of food. How they still have power, who knows? And so why don't they just evacuate the entire human population to Saratoga Springs? Like, let's get everybody out. This is preposterous.
There's not enough cops to get people out. It's pretty much every person for themselves. Hashtag whatever lives are left matter if they can leave.
Hey, now. I thought it was good. I thought Justine Feraldo, here she's fought him so much. She had those. Remember back when she was on Staten Island, when times were good.
Oh, yeah.
Relatively. She had chopped off Strigoi's heads and stuff and left them hanging out. When anybody got off the ferry, she's like, this is what's going to happen to you if you come to Staten Island. She shouldn't have. She's right. She should have stayed there.
Yeah, for some reason, this is what happens when all you can think about is your political career in the midst of a disaster.
Thank you. Thank you, Catfish, for pointing out the hypocrisy.
Yeah, I'll always do that.
And so let's follow Justine Feraldo to her final ironic moment. She had earlier had a Strigoi in the eye, but Fett had been there with his UV light to kill it. Today, Fett wasn't around. She didn't even think to go to Fett, which was interesting. She just thought, okay, everybody's leaving. Let's hit the bricks. And as she's going there, and all the cops are leaving, we see that, sure enough, Gus and Silver Angel, as they talked about last week, they're also leaving town. And, I don't give the show too many props about set dressing, but they really make it look like the city is deserted. There's trash everywhere on the streets. The street is obviously empty. They don't even care about traffic laws. And then when the cops come up and pass them, it's incredible. And
what's cool is, although it's a trope, it's also nice. It's whenever a character is talking about how amazing the place they're about to go to.
Yeah, exactly.
You pretty much mark them for that.
You say when the Silver Angel is pitching this island with official vision and the Strigoi won't get us.
First of all, finally someone comes up with your idea that you've been complaining about forever.
Go to an island. Yes, if they can't cross running water, not without being shipped, you know, in some container, you could control every ship coming on. You know, you could do all this stuff. But no, not to be. And so Silver...
It's kind of funny to see all the cop cars. I first think they're getting pulled over to be sort of conscripted into something again, but the cop cars are all loaded
Help us
up
pack.
With bags.
Help us pack our bags.
Yeah.
And because the cops have left, Silver Angel and, hey, Brog Gus... They run into a traffic jam, once again, trying to get off the city. I'm going to assume they were on Manhattan. Did it say specifically where they are? Well, wait a minute. It says the bridge they're trying to get to. So anybody know New York well enough to know which bridge they're at there? I have to be honest. I don't know New York City. So even if I read the name of the bridge, I could not tell you.
Golden Gate?
I'm just waiting to hear Mark's joke.
How do you...
Wait, the Golden Gate was
Catfish.
A joke?
No, he was preparing something and you stopped him. He was about to do something.
What gave it away? So they are in...
He had a glint in his eye.
No, that's not a glint. It's
so they are in Manhattan.
Is that a worm? I think you got a worm in your eye.
And even though they were driving in pure daylight, now it's already, once again... nighttime by the time they get stopped in traffic. So literally they can't drive from daytime in one daytime session
now,
off of Manhattan.
I have been in some traffic jams, and by the time you're in them, you can't usually find a way to pull out. They just managed to find a way.
Right. They said, let's just do a U-turn.
And just right away. There's a spot there. There's a space there. I imagine traffic in New York is the way traffic is everywhere, maybe even worse, where
someone
would be like an inch away from somebody else's bumper. You're not getting in, my friend.
You always,
or as
always,
Justine Ferraldo would say, you're not getting in.
No.
So sure enough, Ferraldo and her team get trapped in the same traffic jam as everybody's trying to get out of the city. You would have thought pretty much everybody would have left the city weeks ago.
Clearly the smart cops did.
Yeah.
Because the dumb cops are the only cops left in this truck are the dumb ones.
Oh, yeah.
Because they clear buildings in about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Look outside. Clear. Everything's fine.
It does actually say the GW, the George Washington Bridge, in a tiny little...
Oh, yeah. That'll get you across to Jersey.
And there are no Strigoi in Jersey.
Well,
no. I mean, there's Shamwell and Snooki, but there's no Strigoi.
And so, sure enough, this sets up a classic horror trope in this horror television show of they're trying to get these cars to move out of the way, and they're talking over a loudspeaker, but it is quite obvious to us, the viewers, if not to the cops themselves, that
there ain't nobody in those cars.
There ain't nobody. There ain't nobody in those cars.
What? But so we're assuming that everyone left their cars and ran away, or because they got
attacked
and destroyed. Then. But the Strigoi all closed the doors.
But now they're hiding somewhere. They like to play hide and seek. The Strigoi.
They like to play hide and seek, but they wouldn't all close their doors,
right? And so, did you guys know? And I'll be honest, even though the episode was titled "Do or Die," I thought there was no way they would kill Frank.
Well, considering we've known his name for one episode,
last year.
That's not true. Somehow it got said. Okay, Bubba has been talking about Frank since the beginning of the season.
It's definitely been around.
Frank, he's got something.
And so he
just likes guys with bald heads.
And so the cops inside this armored vehicle, the Strigoi play a great trick on them. They hear somebody knocking on the back door, and they open it up, and they see, it's one of our fellow officers, you know, through the eye hole. They're like, it's our fellow officer.
With dead eyes.
He looks totally fine. But the person also, I mean, the thing that's particularly well done about that shot is we're seeing it from a camera angle.
Right.
Presumably, the police person who's opening has a different angle than we do.
No, not at all.
And would be able to see a little bit more of the creepy crawler in the dude's
neck. The final indignity for that cop who opened the door.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is he gets tongue-wormed by a punk rock.
Yeah, Mohawk, Mr. Goy.
Mr. Goy, yeah.
He was a little scary.
And so this comes up to an ethical dilemma.
Oh,
for Gus and Silver Angel. And that Gus is like, screw them, they're cops. They put us on the double C.
Double C.
The conscription crew. And so we should just let them die. But Silver Angel ain't going to do that. Silver Angel wants to rescue them. He ain't going to leave people to die. And so...
So this is another pointless thing that Silver Angel does. Like, Silver Angel is just trying to get Gus out of the city. But no, hang on. We're going to stop and help these cops out. You can go on. You can go ahead without me. So Gus stays behind. And then they don't save the people. They only succeed in killing Silver Angel. So Gus can... I mean, Silver Angel, not who I want in charge of strategy anymore.
Well, technically...
They're clearly walking through a killing field. This is a killing field.
Yeah, but technically, the Silver Angel didn't actually save anybody. He went to go save the cops. Every cop died.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like, they would have had a better chance if he had done nothing.
Oh, man, this... Hey, man.
The
hey,
moral quandary is that Gus... who basically sicked his mom on some innocent people.
He's the
only one who has made it out alive.
He is the only one who made it out alive. I was hoping for... Actually, as I was watching this, I was thinking a little bit about how it's a shame that Councilwoman Justine Feraldo will not survive long enough to have her own sexting scandal.
That's wrong.
Like Anthony Weiner.
That there's no traffic study on the George Washington Bridge. It's a shame.
And so, sure enough, Feraldo and Frank have their last stand in the back of some pickup truck, and Silver Angel got right on his bad. Was that his bad leg? You know how he always had a bad leg?
In fact, I thought maybe he got him in his titanium.
In his knee. Yeah.
No.
That would remind some of our double L's. Of a very, very eventful... there's a classic film called Conspiracy, and it features a pretty amazing fight scene in a diner.
And, I remember that film. Yeah. Man, that was...
And that one of the henchmen, I mean, really the henchman, and he's clearly the henchman because he's a real bruiser. He's basically who should have been cast, in my mind, as Jack Reacher, as great Tom Cruise is. And he stabs amazing thespian Val Kilmer in his artificial leg. So I thought that they were paying homage.
Well, how about the homage of Justine Feraldo? She has one, just like Samson, she has one weakness. Just like Achilles, she has one weakness, the eyeball.
Eyes.
Right. Where Samson had the weakness of his hair, and Achilles had, obviously, his Achilles heel. She had the eye. The worms just were attracted to her eye. So I love that she went down swinging. She and Frank... and Silver Angel, I call it a hero's death because while they did die, this episode is called Do or Die, they did do some do, meaning that they fought it and that they won.
Yeah.
And then later, this moment, it could have been cheesy, it could have been corny, but because he had done nothing across two seasons of the TV show, the fact when he died and he blew up real good, the fact that Silver Angel briefly... switched into his Mexican wrestling outfit. I thought that was great. Do you guys want to comment on the Silver Angel, Feraldo, or Frank's last moment as they blew up?
Well, what I would like to say is this, is that I thought this was a great analogy.
Mm-hmm.
The subtext for this that you don't realize is just like the Silver Angel sacrificed himself on the George Washington Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
I'm already crying. I'm already crying.
It's just the same way that Chris Christie sacrificed his career with the George Washington
Bridge.
Do you
think after on November 9th,
uh-huh,
will Chris Christie, and I know we don't really get into politics here.
We don't want to. The hundreds of people who are kind enough to download and listen to this show, we like libertarians, we like radical Whigs, whatever party you are, we want you listening to the Got Your Milk
podcast. We definitely like radical Whigs, despite everything we said about F the first couple seasons.
there is no Whig more radical than hirsutely aggressive.
So any thoughts on Feraldo's final moment?
Too soon. I think she was turning things around.
They made it very clear at the beginning that they'd lost complete control of the city. In fact, they didn't even bother with five colors.
Always darkest before the dawn.
For their disaster levels.
Right.
They had three colors.
Right.
And basically there were only two on the map. One we're fighting, the other we've lost. The part that areas they controlled, the green, there was no green on the maps.
There's a little bit of green.
Yeah, in your mind.
Well, look, that's hope. All right.
Okay, so guys, let's now look at probably the most successful team in the episode. That's Team Futch, Team F and Dutch, as they finally have a way to take out the evil Strigoi. And the first part of that required them to get busy in the shower.
Yeah. No one is more whimsical or likes to have more fun and is playful and just brings out the young love than F.
And unless it was Dutch, because I believe on the show her enjoyment and lightness of character comes right behind Satrakian.
Right. And I really think the thing I think about Dutch is now that every other woman on the show is dead, she's really...
No, Kelly's not dead.
Oh, that's a good... Well, Strigoi don't have sexual organs, so I'm not sure... She's technically still a woman.
Yeah, I mean, they can make something work.
So the fact that they set up right at the beginning, as soon as they're getting out of the shower, and Dutch is still
less teeth, less teeth.
We see Fett's there, and Fett knows the city's fallen. He knows everybody's abandoning, and he's going to protect his woman, who's no longer his woman, Dutch.
Yeah.
But Dutch wants to stay with F. She has flipped the script.
Do you think Fett, I mean, what's Fett really upset about, though? Because he did have quite the palate cleanser in Captain Rogers.
That's a good
so,
point.
So, like, wouldn't he be, shouldn't, couldn't he have found, like, a bit of a, you know, there's got to be a framed picture of her somewhere. She's in the military. There's got to be some, maybe there's a memento or something. He's got his badge. Maybe he can have a picture of her on the back, a little locket.
He just wants to get Dutch alone so she'll start telling a story about how horrible she is.
I really think, season two callback there, Catfish, I really think that Fett's big move is, you know, he's like...
Morning.
His big move, he's like, listen, Dutch, Strigoi are raiding over the city, and I have a great way to get out of the city. The bread boat.
Now...
We had fun in the bread truck. Like the bread boat would be sex time.
It would be.
I feel like the scene could have had more stakes to it, and I feel like because there's three people in this scene,
right?
And there's three of us here.
Oh yeah.
I feel like we should redo this scene, but with more stakes.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Okay. All right. So we take you to Red Hook, Brooklyn, and Ephraim Goodweather's new laboratory. Dutch. Dutch.
I knock on the door. This door made in 1942 originally.
Dutch.
Oh.
Dutch, you stay here and dry off. I don't have any hair to dry, so I'll get the door.
The original church door. Yes.
Fett, what are you doing here? Need more silver?
Where is Dutch? I'm so angry with you. We're your child. You steal the book for your child. Do you care? You haven't mentioned your child in three or four, whatever the translation for episode per day is.
Of course.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry there, Fett. There's another child on the way.
What?
Yes.
You know
how babies are made, don't you?
Your hands are both dripping wet, and you're both wrapped in the same towel.
Oh my God! I need a drink.
Sexual relations?
Have some milk.
Listen to me,
Dutch.
Listen, I've found a way, Fett. I've found a way to fight the Master. Now, I know you're thinking it's by my special virus, which was meant to kill him, which I introduced in Season 2. Or I know you're thinking that if I got to DC and it gave them my virus, also in Season 2, that would kill him. But then you're really thinking, wait, no, no, no. You're thinking this is how I'm going to get my son named, you know, my son back.
Which son, though? There's been so many. Which son?
I'm going to get back... Dutch, are you saying...
My voice gets a little gravelly.
Dutch, are you...
Afterglow.
Dutch, are you saying that...
You have afterglow?
Oh, sure.
Dutch, let me feel your belly.
Yep.
Oh, I can feel a little Zach kick. It's like he wants to pedal a bike.
That is no Zach. even if you cannot... You have not been together this long.
Fett, you sound
I only had sex with her 3 days ago. Fett, I know that was last season, but it was only 3 days ago. If it's a baby, it is my baby. It is little Fett. It will appreciate architecture.
If he comes,
and will be disappointment to me.
If he comes out wearing a badge, we'll know it's yours.
And scene. Oh my God!
Whoa,
that was.
See, they really
this just
up.
Shows.
They brought in the pregnancy. It was very clear that the two of them were together.
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
This,
a lot of tension
there was a lot of drama mm-hmm. in when I was going to cut that off.
Yeah. That.
Also,
a real sense of jeopardy.
Also, when it turned out that Dutch has a way of making her voice very deep, I don't know whether I was as Fett, more attracted, mm-hmm. or a little sure. bit freaked out.
All right, so we leave that tension field scene and we go beneath Central Park in mm-hmm. Manhattan. And sure enough.
Not a whiff of spooge?
Yeah, that's what they said, sure enough. They're looking for some. They're looking for some feelers. Dutch and F. They're underneath. Now, why, when theoretically down here underneath Central Park, there could be Strigoi, there could be the Crimson Worm of the Master, there could be Poor Man's Christoph Waltz, I-Corst, there could be so many people, but they're just convinced they can find a feeler. And sure enough, guess what? They do. This feeler, I'm going to give this feeler some credit and some negative. The credit is it moves super fast. It was avoided the net on multiple occasions,
yeah.
But a strike against this feeler because it never stuck out its tongue until it was already caught in the net. It didn't even try. The tongue worm is your number one option feeler, and you didn't do it.
Hmm.
So one good mark, one bad mark. But then I'm going to give it a really good mark at the end of being able to still use its eyes and look around when strapped down to the examination table and its skull being ripped apart. I thought that was a great job by the feeler to keep fighting, keep living, even as it was dying, as F was ripping out its Strigoi brain. Ooh, so good.
No, this was a lot of fun, and this is the kind of thing that I would much rather see. This kind of, you know, smelly, creepy.
Oh, creepy.
Then, you know, a lot of the fighting in the show is, you know, particularly with our Scooby gang, you know, we know that I mean, you saw what the feeler just did. They waited until, you know, they couldn't use their amazing weapon. Maybe they have different rules of engagement, mm-hmm. the feelers and the other Strigoi. But, you know, I'd rather see that kind of stuff. And that's one thing that I think looking back has been, it's been lacking.
But you say it's been lacking. But finally, just as Ephraim's virus against their Strigoi kind of sort of worked for a bit, now,
well, they just stopped doing it.
Right. And the UV lights obviously worked against the Strigoi, and they've quit doing that too. Now they've come up with this brain wave stopping the Master. And so they said, Dutch says, that this brain power stops the Master from being able to see through the Strigoi's eyes.
Right. Now, I understood all that, mm-hmm. and they got it to work.
Yeah, they did. Good work.
Now, I think it was Fett who said it. I can't remember who said it, but this is the most important question. And the response was, I think so. And that's not the kind of answer you want to hear when you say, is this going to work on the Master? I think so.
Well, imagine
I mean, it's only upsetting their communications, right? They're the dumb end of the network.
Right.
Right? So all he's doing is cutting off the broadcasting. I have no confidence.
And also, it's a two-way thing. So the Master is rendered blind, when these people are
right. But what they're saying is that it's going to incapacitate him the way it did them, where not only was there communication.
Yeah, there's no guarantee it'll do that. That's exactly right.
Dumb.
Yeah,
it's.
Well, but we know. I mean, look, we know this. I mean, we know we've seen both, you know, the Master in his various forms, as well as I, of course, take all sorts of hits. You know, I'm not spoiling anything tonight. But, you know, so we know that they think they know it's going to work. But, you know, they gotta give it a shot. Maybe 75% of the virus plus a little UV light plus this. You know, what are we even going to call this?
I like it, the brainwave scanner.
The brainwave scanner?
Yeah, the brainwave scanner. It stops brainwaves from stuff.
Quick question, though.
Yeah?
Obviously, Fett's completely turned around for the most part, although he does ask, like, okay, is this going to work on the Master? However, he was so irritated.
Yeah, very irritated.
Pissed off with them that they should have left, and yet Fett and Satrakian are still there when they have finished with their tests.
Right. Well, let's get to it.
He's like, you got to get out of here. We got a day or two. It makes it sound like
right.
Fett and Satrakian are packed and they're ready to go on their honeymoon.
Well, Fett, let's tackle that moral dilemma. Fett says, hey, let's leave and live to fight another day.
And Satrakian, he's like, I'm not running anymore. I mean, they're going to do or die.
Satrakian hasn't been able to run since 1950.
Yeah, that brings up another question
okay. That
I don't know why I didn't think about until now. Satrakian is living just to kill the Master.
That's the only reason.
Palmer's now allied against the Master. But let's face it, Palmer's ultimate goal is to be able to keep getting the white or to be turned.
Right.
He gets nothing. Good day, sir, if all of the Strigoi are gone.
Right.
He dies. I mean, I don't think anything has... Nothing seemed to have happened to make him be like, okay, this is worth... My death is worth...
Okay, let's be fair. Clearly, Palmer's a visionary businessman. Maybe he knows of a couple of really good uses for the blood factory that no one else is thinking about.
Right, and why... You know, I don't want to bring up logical questions on the stream.
How dare you.
But why, if you've spent all this money building these factories where you're going to process humans, why then do you want tactical nukes? How is this going to help you?
I think there's your answer.
I have no idea what the nukes are for. It seems to me that... They have a much more... If you want to affect the whole country, you need a gang of nukes. If you want to affect
Kill
the whole country
ancients.
With a virus, a Strigoi virus, they're doing a bang-up job of that. I don't see what...
Well, hold on. This ties in to what Satrakian is reading in the Akado Lumen, in that he's like, there's a disturbing number of references to the apocalypse in this. And what would be the apocalypse? A nuclear bomb going off and killing everything. But don't the Strigoi need healthy humans? If the humans are sick and their blood is filled
with
cancer.
Well, that's the thing.
Yuck.
They need... The Master needs humans. Palmer needs the Master.
Right.
Seems like they should just make up.
It's a circle of life.
It's a perfectly symbiotic relationship.
So then...
Right, just like a parasite, not a virus, but a parasite,
right.
Keeps the host alive so it can keep feeding on it.
Hell yeah. But the Master is not that kind of parasite. He's just a douche.
That's why Palmer wanted to go.
But we know this is
so he could just keep sucking up her life force.
Right. Well, this is another minor question I have, and I don't point it out to point fingers.
Okay.
I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering where exactly is the Crimson Worm?
Boy, we need to know that. Will we get an answer next week in the last episode of season 3? Yes or no, Mork? It's got to be Zach, right? It's got to be Zach.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that.
You don't want to guess poor man's Christoph Waltz?
Ooh, not in his shape. Poor man's Christoph Waltz has had a poor season. He lost a hand. He's been blown up real good. He fell pretty far. That, you know, the skulls of the Strigoi are softer. We know that.
But isn't the...
Yes, okay, I agree. That's a bad move for him, but it would have to be somebody young and healthy, but not someone who's perpetually going to be 4 foot tall for the rest of their life. So I'm thinking Fett or F.
Ooh, would make a good master? That would make a good master. But where's the Crimson Worm right now, though?
Or Gus.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good, too. But where... I want to know where the Crimson Worm is right now, though. He's still controlling people. He's still doing stuff.
Yeah, no. I mean, but so that's... I mean, that's part of the thing. So I'm sure they will reveal it next week.
It just may not be satisfying.
It just... Yeah, but we haven't really... It's not something that they've really been leading up to, so... Maybe next year they'll have a flashback to what he's been doing, and then it'll spell it out for us. But no.
All right, so let's get to our Stergord fighters here at the club, where you see Fett is really still miffed at F having stolen the Akado Lumen to save his son,
and
Fett.
If our earlier scene had been true, for F stealing his girl and possibly putting his making a baby with like
giving his milk to.
It's going to be his head and F's body on the baby.
So I thought, listen, I know people.
Basically, a centaur is what you're saying.
I know people.
A baby tar.
Baby tar.
All right, focus up, guys. I know that people love Fett, but I think Fett was in the wrong here, where he was. I could understand saying, "Look, Doc, you've betrayed us with the book. You can't do it." But Fett then later going really low and saying, "You know, hey, you've made mistakes there, Doctor. Remember how your plans helped your wife and Nora?" Ooh, that is a stone-cold snap about dissing Ephraim Goodweather.
Well, I think the reason he does it is because it's about manning up in the very sort of, the jungle kind of puffery, where, like, you're showing to the female, I can protect you and this one can't.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know. I could see it. And it became a pretty good fight. Who did you guys want to win this Battle of the Bastards? Did you want F or Fett to win?
I think it's always good when passive-aggressive takes a couple of shots. So
let me just say one more time. I just want to make this clear.
You haven't made it clear
Fett
so far.
Fett is a rough and tumble guy.
Oh, yeah, but he's not wearing his badge. F, his strength is his
F
off him.
Or is the badge?
He's an alcoholic nerd who does not get engaged in physical activity except for recently with Dutch. So I find it highly improbable. I honestly expected after this fight for F to be like, I've been taking the white. There's no other reason that he would be.
Well, a lot of times, like, you know, like when you're drunk, you don't really feel the pain. So that's why, like, a lot of people when they get tattoos will get really loaded first. And, you know, sort of a similar thing. So he's so drunk.
Which is the worst because you bleed more. You're specifically not supposed to.
Oh, wow. Thank you, tattoo expert Catfish, to drop some knowledge
on us. Is that really
true?
That's really true.
Oh, God. Dude.
Okay, just a note for when you get a tattoo. Don't drink ahead of time.
Okay, I want to jump in. And does anybody want
to
say anything to Satrakian, who allowed them to fight a long time before he finally dropped the sword?
Well, and how about the fact that their blood was so up, and yet they were just waiting for that sound of the cane to slightly hit the table? Oh my goodness.
There's a cane at the table.
Oh, we better stop, because Satrakian, he's very scary.
What was a little disappointing, disappointing to me was that, you know, a lot of people know they've been building up to this all season long. They've been building up to, you know, the wedding.
Oh, yeah,
the Goldberg wedding that's happening on the third floor of the Olympian Club. And, you know, they are not thinking about the wedding at all. They're not thinking about any of the dancing, but possibly disturbing them, ruining someone's special day. So I thought that that was just a sign of how far they'd fallen apart.
That's called truth in comedy. From Mark.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, so
what floor are they on, though?
The third floor.
No, no.
It's Olympian.
That's where the wedding is.
That's
happening.
Where the ballroom is. Yeah, always have it on the third floor.
But where are they? I want to know, are they above where the Goldbergs are planning, or are they below?
They're on the fourth floor.
Yeah. Oh, okay, all right. So the Goldbergs are like,
there's chandeliers swaying, there's dust falling into the drink.
They're hitting the ceiling with a broom.
Grandpa's trying to make a toast.
Not knocking on the floor.
And exactly.
That's what I needed to know. I needed to see it in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
And okay. Just as Quinlan came in to stop the ridiculousness, I'll stop you guys from talking about this wedding and say that Quinlan came in and he drops the news
Kaboom.
That the Ancient Ones are dead. Boy, they contributed so much to the series. Who contributed more to the series?
The
Silver Angel or the Ancient Ones?
The other thing is, these people hated...
What do you mean by these people?
These people, I mean Fett...
What do you and people Citra- mean by
and
people?
Fett and Satrakian hated the Ancients, and they are so crestfallen. It's like someone kicked their dog.
Yeah, I don't get that, and I also don't...
They barely trust Trebonne.
What? Do you think... what was Lars, like, second choice? Do you think becoming Strigoi Team 6 was his first choice in life? Or, like, you know, where could he have been?
Lar, let me tell you, he started off in stand-up comedy.
Stand-up comedy. He does, his crowd work is...
He was working the ancient room at a...
Yeah.
At the underground.
Well, what you don't understand is this is also another blow for the Goldbergs because he was going to DJ their wedding.
He was.
Oh, Lar.
Yeah.
All right, so now let's focus on the probably let's focus on the most powerful character in the episode, Bob. He's in a wheelchair and he's apparently a board member of the Stoneheart group, and he is apparently allowed Desai to take control of the Stoneheart group.
This is another weird thing, because you said, oh my God, they're introducing a new character, and they do make him seem, the way it's shot,
right,
that he's important, someone we've never met. He didn't have very interesting information to give. A flunky could have given it.
Right.
So it's weird.
Yeah.
So my question to you guys is,
sure,
who was your favorite couple of the episode? Was it Bob and Palmer? Palmer and his dad, or F and Dutch?
Ooh. I think Palmer and his dad had the most sparks.
The sexual tension between Palmer and his dad was far more compelling.
Okay, all right, yeah. I can buy that.
So Palmer is determined to find where this box is because that's how he's going to get more white from Satrakian.
Yeah.
It all comes together like a perfectly tied Strigoi.
Like a glove.
And so then we flash back and we see that Palmer was... Are we supposed to? Was he the bastard child of a rich industrialist? I'm so confused.
Our second wife. I didn't understand either. I didn't even realize that this was actually his father until he says it when he visits him at the nursing home.
You didn't think when he said, "Tell him his son is here,"
right? The O'Neill. He goes to the O'Neill group.
Yeah, but I didn't know whether he was just trying to get in to be seen that way. I didn't pick it up. I'm not saying
it does
that. It was probably obvious to most people.
Yeah,
but it wasn't obvious to me. Hmm. So God,
and so he, okay. And so he was an illegitimate child. And it's not just that he's an illegitimate child; he's also sickly.
Yeah,
right.
And so obviously,
the meek will inherit jack squat.
O'Neill could not be down with this. O'Neill was disgusted, and O'Neill, I honestly think he's in the original Ghostbusters film. This guy's been in a lot, if I remember this actor correctly. So
yeah, he's been in a lot. He was actually a funny guy. I haven't seen him in a long time.
So did you guys feel sorry for Palmer? Is there any way to feel sorry for Palmer?
Because
he's done so many terrible things to Coco.
No.
That how could we like him? And the city of New York and in mankind, he's done bad things too.
The other reason why I can't like him is when I see someone like Bob and I go, God, this guy... He might have been good as Palmer.
I think that's very unfair.
And so in the flashback,
love him.
Okay.
In the flashback, Palmer's dad gives him a $10,000 check, which back in 62, I believe, is when that scene was set.
Yeah.
That would be an awful lot of money.
Don't they have articles all the time saying, like, whenever there's Warren Buffett has a birthday or something, don't they always get to a certain point in the article where it's like, if you had invested $10,000 in Berkshire Hathaway, you know, 50 years ago, you would have $700 billion or something like that. So what if that was all Palmer did? Was he just invested with Warren Buffett? And it would have been a lot easier, and maybe we'd all still be alive today because he wouldn't have made the deal.
He wouldn't have had to make the deal, but Palmer let it. He finds out. We don't know from who, but he finds out where they have stored this box that came in on the ship. And he has his own men. He has his own fighting force. This was so good, so much action. And he's like, I don't give a crap.
That we watch from afar while sitting in the car.
So. Right. So they blow up, they go in, and they capture Desai. And I kept saying this out loud just to let everybody know. We're watching this episode, and I'm just thinking to myself, Why doesn't he just kill Desai? What does he need Desai for at all? Just kill him.
It's not clear. It's not clear why he even speaks to Desai. You know, they've located the box. They see what's in it, and you know, it was a nuclear bomb. There was a large explosion the other night. There's a nuclear bomb missing. Could this possibly be? So there's nothing that Palmer actually needs from him from, you know, the get-go. And why he's keeping him around, where he's going to keep him, I don't know.
I don't know either. And then what will Palmer, let's have a guessing game. What will Palmer do
Crayons.
Next week with the tactical nuke that he got? Anybody got an idea?
I mean, if I was Palmer, I would blow up, I guess there's too many bridges. But, you know, if you're on Manhattan and there's running water, I would probably do that.
Heck yeah. But he does. What does Palmer want? This is such a good question. Does he want to? He wants the white and to live forever. And he always wanted the master to stick to his end of the bargain. The master never does.
Well, so, let's be clear about this. He didn't. The white was an interim step. He actually really wants to be.
He wants to turned. Live forever. Yeah. And did we find out when in the second flashback he goes and visits his dad, and his dad is now kind of fallen on tougher times and in a nursing home, and his dad says,
it looks like he's having a good time in that nursing home.
Well, it's weird. He said he just bought his company. Seems like he's doing all right, except. It's not the fanciest of nursing homes.
No, it's
It looks
not.
Like they're about to go to Denny's and then come back and play some Pinochle. So
that you just described my honeymoon, by the way. Here's a question that I have. Which occult? I don't even know. How would you describe the master? He's sort of like a demon.
L. Ron Hubbard.
He's L. Ron Hubbard. No, so
he is the best. He gives the best blood suckings.
So who exactly, so now Palmer went to the master because he wanted to live forever. Now,
yeah, because his dad, in a stone cold dad drop the mic, the dad said, you know what, you look older than I do, kid. I'm going to outlive you and dance on your grave. Youch.
I'm 95% sure his dad is already dead.
No,
so
they're going to bring him back.
Don't worry about it.
No, Palmer's dad and Joan
flashback.
Lusk's daughter are going to reunite in the finale.
Okay.
No, so is Palmer looking into another kind of demigod or occult supernatural being to help him turn back time in order to fix his mistakes that came from him doing a deal with the master? Could he fix this, I guess? Could he possibly fix this, and how would he go about doing that? Because
I can't.
Dishes are done, man.
Yeah, I can't figure this out. So he visits his father in the nursing home in 1992. And if the flashbacks are to believed, like one flashback, is building on the other, he has purchased his dad's company and named it Stoneheart Group after his stone-hearted father. Oh,
Shouldn't it be Stoneheart Dad? What's
right.
Stoneheart Group? Who else is he naming it after?
Stoneheart Dad. I think that's a great point, Mark. I'm not sure what would happen.
Thanks, Bubba. That's one.
But then we see he goes back. He's got all the power now. He's got the tactical nuke. He's taken out a lot of his enemies. But we see how the deal comes to pass. He finds Eichhorst again. I assume this is in Europe somewhere.
It's at Paris.
It's at the D'Orsay in Paris, which I've been to. It's a wonderful, wonderful museum to make evil deals in, apparently. Hmm. And what year was this, though? It was 2002. So 10 years after his dad talks trash to him and says, "I'm going to dance on your grave," he rolls up to Eichhorst, poor man's Christoph Waltz, and he makes the deal with the devil. What do you think? Happy for this? You like the deal with the devil?
Well, it does sort of give you a little bit of a sense, I guess, of all of the flashbacks we've seen this episode. It's the only one that gives you a little bit of sense of you know, why Palmer feels a little miffed. You know, that he feels like he's been shortchanged a little bit.
In past flashbacks, he's hated God almost. Remember, he's like, God made me like this. And
yeah, I in terms of, you know, him bickering with, you know, with the master, which is, you know, I mean, you presume that Palmer's a fairly smart guy. And so you would think that, you know, bickering with the master is probably not a good idea. But here you get a sense of why he does feel that that he's been, you know, shortchanged and he's been so persistent about it. But to what end is, you know, is the eternal question.
Well, the other question is why is the master not
there
going through with his part of the deal? It does seem like they made a deal. Wouldn't be too hard for the master to do it. The master still would have control over him, even if he made him.
Well, you're bringing up a good point. Do you remember when Palmer cut off the funds to the Akado Lumen? The master could have taken over Palmer and released all the funds. You know, right. All the funds go to Eichhorst. I mean, this is so. Yeah, he's been caring for Palmer with kid gloves.
But also, making him an enemy when he didn't need to make him an enemy.
True. But I would say
that's what I mean.
The master,
he could have carried through on it, and he would still have control of him. Just because he could live forever, the master still has ways.
But the master, this is what I've said before. I assume the master needs what you would call a warrior of the light, somebody who can operate in the light.
Yeah.
And so, I would assume that's the only reason. The only reason why Palmer's still been alive all this time.
So give him more white. Don't get him to the point where he's sick.
Oh, right. Good point.
You're just turning him against you.
But when you talk trash to the Crimson Worm, you really are not cool. And so, Eichhorst, we know he likes to talk trash. We know he likes to, you know, bitch and moan. And so he really takes it on the chin and in the chest and in several other places right. In this episode. And Palmer pulls a fast one on him. I don't know why he had to pull the blanket off the shotgun. He should have just shot the...
Well, that is actually fine cashmere, which a lot of people don't know this, but it's completely bulletproof.
And let me ask you this. Does this mean poor man's Christoph Waltz is done? I mean, he's got no hand. He's been shot. He just fell at a good at least 20 stories, right?
Oh, it's way, way, way more than 20 stories. But no, he's not going to be dead because we actually do see him. Forget the fact that we see him skulking away in the next little
right,
portion.
But no,
and also we see Palmer say he's not going to be a problem anymore. Stupid plan. You got to finish him off.
Or, you know, keep him locked up somehow or do something with him. Whatever he's going to do with Desai, wouldn't it be better to do the same thing with PMCW?
Right.
I mean, that's what's just not, you know, really clear.
But what I'm saying is next episode the last episode for poor man's Christoph Waltz, Eichhorst?
Eichhorst. I guarantee you will not be in the episode.
You think he's going to survive next week? Despite all the pain he's taken, he's going to survive is what you're saying.
Yeah, I kind of do. I kind of think that he's not going to have...
If he goes, we need to lose one of our crew.
I volunteer.
Hey.
Not our crew.
Oh, wait, sorry.
I mean, Fat Satrakian... And Futch.
Well, I think my
Gus, he doesn't count. He's on his own.
Yeah, my guess would be that someone, you know, whether it's Strabone, someone else would do some sort of an alliance with poor man's Christoph Waltz for what end?
No, I'm saying
I don't know.
I'm saying I agree with you. I think poor man's Christoph Waltz dies next week, but it's this. Season finale.
Yeah, now, something's going
to happen. By the time they shot it, they didn't know that they'd only have one more year.
Right.
But still, I think we lose a bad guy and we lose a quote-unquote good guy. Satrakian, Fett, or Futch.
I'm not convinced that he's
dead. Palmer in this mix at all? What do you think about Palmer? Is he?
No, because he's in the middle.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
I will say that Rapid fire. Will the second nuke go
Chicken.
Off? Will the second nuke go off next week? I'll say yes.
No.
Will I-Course die next week? He's in such bad shape, I could see it, so I'll say yes. Will Dutch reveal she's pregnant next week? I will say yes. I'll support our Strigoi Team 7 person. And for the final question, will a good guy, meaning somebody there at the Olympian Club, die? I don't think so. There's not any cast left. Who could they kill? Maybe Satrakian. But I have a hard time seeing it. So those are my rapid-fire guesses. So
they could get rid of Dutch.
And have no women on the show outside of the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly? I don't know about that.
You think this show survives either because women identify with it or guys like the eye candy? I mean, I'm just saying, the show's never been one that passes the Bechdel test.
Okay, so are you saying she will die, though? Do you want to put your money where your mouth is and say Dutch will die next week?
I'm sorry. Nobody respects women more than I do. But Dutch is going down. And I don't feel like she did with that.
In the bread truck.
I mean, I say Dutch dies next week.
All right, Mork, you're the tiebreaker. Let's hear it. What do you think, Mork?
I think she lives. Totally. She's all around. Right. She will give birth to Zach 3.0.
There we go. Listeners tweeted us.
You mean Fett 1.0.
No. Oh, wait, she's replacing Fett.
Fett 1.1.
Okay, I like that. So, listeners, become a.
This womb was designed in 1665.
So, become a member of Strigoi Team 7, listeners. Tweeted us. Tweet it with the hashtag #GotYourMilkPodcast. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you think. Or you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/DoublePPodcast. That's the word double, the single letter P, the word podcast, plural, facebook.com/DoublePPodcast. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you're expecting, what you want to see in this season finale. Let's go round robin. Special guest, Catfish, how can people find you on Twitter?
They can hit me up at CJGman67.
And Mork, how can people hit you on Twitter?
At Extraordinary. That's Extraordinary with a W in front of the second R.
And you can find me. My name is Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM at Fit and Trim on Twitter. And you'll catch us next time on
Got Your Milk,
Baby.
For your baby.
CJGman67.